Quick introduction to today's episode with my guest, James Smith. James is an online personal trainer and speaker, and this is one of the funniest episodes of the podcast. His delivery on aspects of the fitness industry is second to none. James has exploded over the last year. He's gone from 4,000 followers to over 250,000 followers in less than a year. And we jumped back and forth. This is an explicit warning for language on this from both sides, because I tend to feed off my guests and James's language is worse than mine. So there's a lot of swearing in this. So if you're listening to it in a car with kids or in public, be warned, there's more swearing in this. I've actually put explicit warning in the title, even though this podcast is on an explicit rating anyway. It's exceptionally bad today. So just so you're warned, the episode's hilarious, but it's loaded with value. So for anyone looking to get the body they want, we talk the fitness principles and fitness misconceptions, how to live your life in general. James has offered some advice here that's really profound in the very simplistic and a very funny delivery on how to live your life. And I broke with the traditional format because I wanted to go in whatever direction worked best for James, just because of his personality type. He does everything off the cuff. All his videos are more or less one take, similar to myself. And I broke the traditional format. So we talked everything. We went from basic fitness principles to keto diet and his story with the keto pushers, which actually put him on the scene initially, vegan diets and his hate for spinning classes and the videos that have gone viral, Tinder hookups, not hooking up or shagging your clients if you're a personal trainer, building an email list to explode your business. And then the rapid fire questions are completely different from normal. To give you an example, the first one is blondes or brunettes. So that gives you a gauge in what direction we went with. This one is very, very different from other podcast episodes, but has probably the same, if not more value than other episodes because of the advice that James has offered. So I hope you enjoy it. Be sure to hit me up on DM on Instagram or tag the story and tag James or hit him up on DM to let us know what you thought. And without further ado, here is one of the episodes that I had to stand back from the mic from because I was laughing out loud on several occasions with my guest, James Smith.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I am so excited to have my guest with me today, James Smith, PT, for those of you following him online. James is an online personal trainer and speaker. His mission is to remove bullshit from the fitness industry one post at a time. And I have to say, he is one of the funniest Instagram pages that I've ever seen. One of his recent videos on the keto diet had me in tears a few days ago. I'm going to try and keep some structure to today's podcast, but this is going to be the James Smith Show. So we're going to cover whatever James wants to talk about and go in that direction. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. You made me sound very bossy by saying that. I'm happy for us to go in any direction you like. But no, it's a pleasure to be on. I've actually been very lazy with podcasts this year, where most people have asked me. I've said yes to about five people. And, you know, just life gets in the way. And then someone's like, oh, you call for next week. But I've decided that summer's here. I'm in the same time zone as so many people. And I'm actually quite excited to talk to people on podcasts, so thanks for having me.
Mate, I'm so happy to have you on. I actually came across some of your stuff. I didn't realize the connection, because in fitness, everyone that has a kind of a similar approach tends to be connected. I saw your drinking banter with Ross Edgley and Jamie Alderton at Body Power, and I've had both of those boys on. And I remember that was my trigger. I was like, I've got to reach out to James, because I'd been following your content for a while, and the videos are so funny. And I was like, okay, I'm going to use that and see when he come on. And I'll see, because I actually used Ross's name and as a name drop to try and get a little bit of leeway to get you on. So I'm delighted that it worked.
I tell you what, he is the nicest person I've ever met. And that's why he let me take advantage of him Body Power and get him so drunk.
He was wasted.
So I tagged him in a few stories. I'm trying to get better at swimming myself. I said to myself this year, I'd always go down to icebergs when I lived in Bondi, and I'd have a bit of a dip. And I thought 50 meters is quite a long way to swim when you're 100 kilograms and you, I'm still quite dense, I'd say. And I tag him in some stuff, and I'd be like, how the hell does Ross actually do it? And he sent me some really nice messages. So it was the first time I'd ever met him at Body Power, and I could not get over how much of a nice guy he is. Awful drunk, but nice guy.
Yeah, I love him. He's one of the only people I've had on the podcast twice. Because he was just so highly requested to come back, because he's just like that. We overlapped, me and Ross, when I was coaching the Irish amateur rugby team and he was doing the English amateur rugby team, and we were the fitness coaches on both sides. And I met him and I was like, fucking hell, this is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, 100%. And Jamie as well, who was probably one of the first people to kind of reach out to me, and I fanboyed when he first reached out to me. He was like, hi, Jay. He commented on one of my videos and I saw his blue tick and I was like, oh my God. I suddenly had this notion when I first started that I'd snuck up on the industry and no one saw me coming. And he said to me, he goes, James, I don't follow most people in fitness because they annoy the shit out of me, but I like your stuff. And I met him for Nando's and I was back at Christmas. And again, Jamie, top guy, one of the people that I probably chat to at least a couple of times a week on WhatsApp. So yeah, both of those are real top guys in the industry. We end up in a casino after one of the Body Power parties and Ross was hammered and he kept going, James, please get me a Diet Coke, please. And I was like, no, sit down, you're having a gin and tonic.
I love it. James, for those that are not familiar with you, I know a lot of people listening already follow your Instagram or your Facebook, particularly your Instagram. I'm glued to that because some of those, if I need to pick me up, I just go onto your Instagram page and just look at some of your videos. But tell everybody a little bit more about yourself.
Probably the fitness industry's least fitnessy guy. I was thinking about this the other day as far as an identity. I'm a relatively normal person. I've struggled to diet my whole life. Probably up until my early 20s. I'm only in my late 20s now. I was misinformed, miseducated, and the kind of people I'd reach out to with regards to information would give me kind of false data. So I was the person doing the bro split, drinking the BCAAs. And then when I got into fitness, I had this real chip on my shoulder. A lot of people learn and they change their ways, but I developed this real chip and I was like, oh my God, how much easier could people's lives be if they knew the fundamentals? And I've kind of positioned myself in the industry as kind of like a no bullshit PT. And people were like, oh, but James, you drink quite a lot. I was like, well, yeah, I like to drink a lot. Oh, James, you go out, you party quite a lot for a fitness person. I was like, whoa. I never told you I was a fitness person. I'm just in the fitness industry. I actually quite like separating a wall between all those people that have competed. I couldn't imagine anything worse than competing. Fair enough, the new profile picture would do me great, but you know, giving up 98% of my body life or my body weight and a 2% change in, like, you know, lifestyle just never has appealed to me. So yeah, probably fitness's least fitnessy person. That would probably be who I am to most people. Yeah, and the first person to drop a C-bomb on a Instagram video that got more than 50,000 hits. I don't think anyone's really done that yet.
So, no, yeah, mate. Was that one of the keto videos by any chance?
Yeah, and I think the vegans and the keto, they get the hardest one. At the end of the day, I spoke about this a bit earlier on in one of my live videos. People are very quick to assume that I'm not a nice person or that I'm a bit of an asshole because they don't really understand the motive. Because if you love the ketogenic diet, when I do a keto video and I call you all wankers, if you love the diet, you will sit back and go, James Smith is a wanker. But if you hate the ketogenic diet and it's not the diet for you and you watch the video, it could lure you into a better diet, into a better way of eating, into a simple caloric deficit where you get your life back. The same that yesterday I ripped into spinning. Guess what? If you fucking love spinning and you watch the video, you'll think I'm a massive tosser. But if you hate spinning and you're led to believe it's the only way to burn fat, then that video will help get you off the bike into a gym environment, into a block of 10 PT sessions where you learn to squat. You know, people, I think, massively have kind of misunderstood the motive of all these. And, you know, in the keto video and the vegan videos, I know people that are converting to veganism because they think it's healthier and it's beneficial for fat loss. Again, if these people love being vegan and they love saving the cows, they'll think I'm a massive fucking knob. But the people that go, hold on a second, I was told this would make me slimmer and make, you know, reduce my chances of getting BO. I'm like, no, you've been sold a dream. And it's the 50% of people that I'm trying to move away with these videos. I'm not actually like that in real life, but Instagram only gives me a minute, so I come across like a complete cock.
Do you know what, though? What I must say, James, as someone that consumes your content, it's the titles of your videos that probably get people on their high horse and go, fuck him, what is he talking about, keto? You know, and people are very like, you know, they cling to whatever they identify with, vegan, keto, you know, spinner loving, whatever it is. But you break it down even in your videos, even though you call them cunts, you break it down, the pros and the cons. Like, one of the reasons that I resonate so much with your content, and I said it to you just before we went on air, and anyone listening to the podcast that consumes your stuff, and if you're not consuming James, you need to go do that after this podcast, because we say a lot of the same messages. It's just your delivery is very different. Like, you're telling people the pros and the cons, and look, if you love to be a vegan and you love that lifestyle and you want to save the cows, then awesome, go do that. But it's not the best for fat loss. Get into a calorie deficit, you know, have a better life with, you know, using alternative foods that may support you better. That's basically your message, and that's what I get from most of your videos.
Yeah, it's, I feel like that was the one gem that was kept from me through my first few years of dieting. I tried eating clean, you know, I tried eating little and often, you know, and all of these things. And I can't help but think the simplicity of it. I was even just at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in London, and a black belt came over to me and goes, James, I don't understand the calorie deficit. This guy has a black belt in one of the toughest martial arts on the fucking planet. He doesn't understand the fundamentals of how to lose fat. And that, to me, this guy's an elite athlete. He competes at the European level, and he doesn't understand how to reduce the amount of fat he has. And I said to him, it is very simple. If I had an issue with managing my money, it would make sense to count how much money I have. If I was earning more than I was spending, there would be money in the bank account. So how do you create a deficit? You need to spend more than what you earn. And he goes, is it that simple? I was like, mate, in 35 seconds, I've just explained to you what you haven't known ever. And people seem to think, no, it can't be that simple. And it's almost frustrating that the solution is so simple, but yet so unknown, and people are so naive and misled, because there's so many charlatans in the industry looking. This sounds bad, but a lot of fitness people don't know how to operate a business, and they're not very good at asking for money for their services, because their self-worth is rock bottom. I'm sure you've seen this in gyms, where you see great personal trainers with great knowledge, and they're charging 15, 20 pounds an hour. And you're thinking, is it any wonder that you're being tempted to sell Arbon products or Herbalife, or, you know, that you're looking to revolutionize the wheel, because you're not very good at making money. Most people that are in the fitness industry are only there because their genetics have really kind of predisposed them to become a personal trainer. And, you know, it's a very frustrating place to be. I think I love the fitness industry as much as I hate it, if I'm perfectly honest.
Yeah, no, I think that, again, I love, one of my favorite quotes is the Gandhi, be the change you want to see. And the fitness industry, part of, and you've got a message that I think I've heard it on definitely 10 of your videos, where you're like, unfollow the people that are, I always tell people, unfollow the people who aren't supporting you becoming the best version of you. You say unfollow the cunts. And like, but it's true. It's just a different way of saying it. And I think that is such a great message, because otherwise you start comparing yourself to these other people. You don't know what's got them there, whether it's genetics or anything else that was enhancement wise. And it wasn't the fucking BCAAs they're pushing out. Like, that's one of those things that still irks me. Like, I've unfollowed everyone that does that, so I don't see it anymore. But people are like, oh, well, if I take this supplement or I follow this diet, I'm going to look like this genetic freak who's been on cycle for 6 months. It's like, no, mate, you're not. Just be aware that the reality and what you see on social media may not be the real reality. Is there something in the fitness industry that annoys you more than most?
Yes. So first of all, probably people need to understand that fitness professionals are very much categorized under one umbrella. But the aesthetics side of the industry, like, if you look great, that's great. But that doesn't mean that that person can help you with what you need to do. And this isn't an attack on lean people, but there are a lot of people with large followings. And with large followings comes a blue tick and becomes, you know, undeserved gravitas. And suddenly when they release a 6-week shred, you know, people think that's gospel. And I'm like, no, this person's just very good at dieting. If anything, their relationship to food, albeit good for aesthetics, is probably pretty poor. And, you know, people are idolizing these people that look great. And I'm like, you've actually been gravitated towards the person that can help you the least. And that annoys me. Another thing is, you know, one guy in particular, Thomas DeLauer. Have you seen his stuff, the keto guy?
No.
He's definitely been on steroids. And I say that because I'm one of the people openly in the industry who says, do you know what? I've done a few cycles of gear. I did them when I was younger. Do you know what? I wasn't even counting my calories and I was fucking injecting steroids in my bum. Welcome to the fitness industry. You know, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. This is just after I was at university. And funnily enough, the changes that happened to my body, I see prevalently in the industry. But no one else is calling out these fuckers because they're too scared that their sponsor will drop them or their BCAA company will drop them. And this guy is a pro keto advocate and he's in great shape, sure. But I saw a video of him the other day pushing pork scratchings for fat loss because they contain zero carbs. And I was thinking, come on, man, you're in a position of authority, maybe 500,000 followers. I was like, you're actually telling people to eat pork scratchings. And because people are so blinkered in with their keto beliefs, they are believing this person. Now, from, you know, an outsider standpoint, I get my mum in here. My mum doesn't know what the fuck a carbohydrate is. My dad, if he's left on his own without my mum, he will eat toast. He's a CEO of a $1 million business. Or £1 million business, and he can only cook toast. So my mum and dad are not fitness people for a start. But I go, mum, are pork scratchings good for me? She goes, no, of course they're not. Don't be daft. But yet people led and looking up to these people with large followings, in good shape, very good at restricting calories, and suddenly, you know, being misled. And that, you know, when I sit here and I hear people go, oh, I'm doing a keto diet, I'm losing fat on pork scratchings, that really boils my blood. A vein comes out my neck in videos when I'm getting pissed off. Few people see that. They know I'm really triggered because a vein comes out.
Yeah, well, it's intentionally sending people in an opposite direction. And, you know, the Benjamin Franklin quote, it's hard for an empty sack to stand up straight. When people aren't making money or from their business or from other areas of their life and they're getting paid by... And, like, influencer work is pretty lucrative. Like, you can make a full-time living as an influencer with 100,000 followers or 500,000 followers by posting certain content with this product. Now, by all means, if it's in alignment with what you believe, post it. Like, do that. That's how people have done that for years in influencer marketing. It was just on television, now it's on Instagram. But if you're putting out fucking pork scratchings, like, Jesus Christ, like, it's that kind of stuff. And it does, because people don't know, because it annoys me so much. And the reason it fucking triggers with me is because I was that kid when I was 21, 22, that if I saw somebody, like, I bought, you know, the brand BSN? I brought every fucking BSN supplement when I was 22 because I'm like, I want to look like those. Like, Andrea Presciano was the name of the model. And I'm like, well, if I take this, I'm going to look like him. And I bought the fucking mass stack. I bought the fat loss stack. I'm like, I'm going to combine them and I'm going to look better than this fucker. Like, but no, it's not how it works. And again, fair enough, have a supplement sponsorship, etc., and use them because they do work if you need to fill a void in your diet. And, you know, if you're not getting vitamin D from the sun, you might want to supplement it back in. But it's not the fucking thing that makes you move from, you know, a 2 out of 10 to a 10 out of 10. And I love how you call people out on it, because it just, it's what everyone that is unsure of what information to follow, I think it helps. Is there any advice you'd offer people in that boat in terms of how to filter through the bullshit?
I spoke about this in a video and actually a marketing email the other day. So at the end of the day, the best thing we can do for people, I think, is if you imagine three circles in front of you right now, and on the left you have the consumer. Now, the two other bubbles, the one in the middle is the method. And the method would be keto, intermittent fasting, 5-2, veganism, whatever the fuck it is you want to do to get your goal. Then on the far right is the principle. Now, if we were looking at fat loss, that principle on the far right is thermodynamics, calories in, calories out. Now, what we seem to see and what people need to understand, people listening to this, is that you are being sold the method by an influencer that is standing between the method and the principle. And when they stand in between that gap on the right, they can resell, repackage, and keep manipulating you into multiple purchases, keeping you at arm's length from the principle. So I urge people to bypass that middle part and to understand the principle, to understand thermodynamics, to understand what really are the fundamental principles behind that. When we look at muscle growth, the same thing. And once you understand the principle, you can then go into the middle and pick the method. And I think that if we can empower people, you know, to really take their focus, not over which method is best, because that's the most common question we get. What's the best diet? What's the best training? What's the best, is keto good? Is this good? Hold on a second, ignore that middle part. My best advice would be to understand the principle. Even if you've got to pay someone, even if you've got to sit down, if it's muscle growth, probably go see a coach that is experienced in hypertrophy. If it's S&C, go and see someone down there. Don't be suckered into, like, you know, that middle methods part, because I sit here from the outside, and this is where I get frustrated. It's probably why I had a bit of beef with Joe Wicks the other day. It's because I see people repackaging these fucking methods and keeping the people that pay them at arm's length from the principal, because the client's best interest is never at heart. And there is such profitable business models that can be made for entrepreneurs if they sell someone the principal. It just, fact of the matter is that if you do a good job doing it, you're not going to get another sale from them. But there are plenty of overweight and obese people on the planet to run a successful business without them to fleece them, you know? Does that make sense?
100%. One of the things that I moved online about 2 years ago, I was very, very fortunate with my one-to-one personal training business. I had built up a six-month waiting list and had to bring on a trainer. I left one-to-one PT at €100 an hour, which was about four times the price of every other trainer in the gym at the time. And a lot of it was down to that, giving my clients the principle, because when they transformed, they were walking billboards and they were telling everybody else who they were working with, and this is why they looked that way. And then every client transformation I had, I would get two or three more off the back of a referral because they were telling their friends. And that business model is unbelievably profitable. And I'm very fortunate with the living I make. I love what I do, and I don't feel like I've ever worked a day in my life. Like, this is my fucking job, James. I get to talk to you and chill, record a podcast. Like, this is freaking awesome. But that model is built. I have online programs now similar to your academy we'll talk about as we get on. And people coming through those programs, it's the same thing. It's give them all the principles, give them everything they need. And when they transform and become whatever it is that they're trying to do or achieve or look, they're going to tell people, or else they're going to give you an amazing testimony, and then you'll use that and you'll get more clients. That's just a different business model, but it's a very, very successful business model.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I say to people, look, buy into the program that I'm doing, I'll give you the principle. Then when people understand it, they tell their friends, and their friends buy a new diet and they go, no, sit down, this is what you need to understand. But when you empower someone to actually feel in control of something for the first time ever, imagine if you didn't have control of a relationship you're in and suddenly you did. Like, you know, there's a massive change. And this is a relationship with people's bodies, with their image, with their self-esteem. When you empower them with that, you don't ever need to ask them for money again, because they will do, like you say, absolutely everything in their power to build your business for you. And I just wish people were a little bit more long-sighted. Rather than selling someone a plan where they're going to need another plan, then a cookbook, and then, oh, here's another plan, and, you know, here's a new workout regime. You know, like, even we look at Insanity Asylum, P90X, like all of these things where you get an 8-page nutrition leaflet book. Because I did Insanity. I thought I was going to get shredded, man. I was playing rugby. I was like, Sean T is going to get me fucking shredded. I was jumping around my front room, my rugby teammates. I never lost a pound. I lost the nutrition pamphlet because all the meals in it looked boring and I'd never cooked before. I was like, I am sweating and doing so many burpees and high knees. Why am I not jacked and lean? You know?
Yeah, and it's so frustrating, because one of the things, and I'm sure you've seen something similar with people you've worked with one-to-one and then in an online capacity, when you're, and even personally, and this goes for all areas of life, business, relationships, fitness, when you think you're doing the right things and you are putting in the effort, it's just channeling in the wrong direction and you're not getting the results, that is so frustrating. Like,
And people are implementing things with trust that they put in people. And, you know, imagine investing a lot of money, a lot of effort, and your results going backwards. And, you know, that's disheartening for people. But the worst thing is, I spend a lot of my day talking to my existing clients, but when I talk to prospects, there are massive trust barriers that I've got to get people by because they've been let down by so many people before. And, you know, it's almost like people are intentionally leaving the trust relation barriers between fitness professionals and consumers just to make a quick quid. And, you know, I don't know if you've spent much time in Australia, but in Australia, there's a much better relationship between personal trainers and consumers. The quality of training is perceived a lot higher and people are much more likely to spend money there. And it's only when I come back to the UK that I realized, you know, how much people are so concerned about fitness professionals fleecing them for money.
A side question here, because I have a lot of personal trainers, either one-to-one or online, or people in that fitness space that listen to the podcast. Is there one piece of advice you'd offer any of them for their business in general? Because I love your angle. and it's similar to stuff I preached on my side, is you can build up a following, and that's amazing. And, you know, at 10,000 likes for having a sexy ass or great tits or a great abs or chest shot, that's awesome, but it doesn't pay any bills. You're very much from the business angle, which I'm the same. I'm quality over quantity, even with your following, if your social media strategy is a lead generation for your business. Have you any one piece of advice that you'd offer any personal trainer or anyone in the that has a fitness business that you think would support them?
To grow an email list. This is my secret weapon, if I was to be perfectly honest with people. So I only had maybe 2,800 followers when I moved into online personal training. And
when was that timeline, James? Just to give everyone a timeline, when was that?
October 2016.
Jesus.
So
tell everyone how much you have now, just to give context.
Instagram's just gone to 100,000 and Facebook is at 245,000.
Incredible. Sorry, continue, so, just to give context.
About a year ago, I had 40,000 on Facebook, and January last year, so we're in June now. So a year and a half ago, the beginning of last year, on New Year's Eve, I hit 4,000 followers. And I remember I was at home with my mum and dad. I went to bed at 10:30 because I couldn't afford to go out. I was skint. I moved back from Australia. I had to come home and sell my car just so I could go back out there. And then, you know, but people didn't see for 2 years. It took me about 2 years to get to 4,000 followers. But in that 2 years, after about 6 months, I started building an email list. So although I had 2,000, maybe 3,000 followers, I still had 400 people on my email list. And then when I moved to Australia, I said, look, I'm going to be offering out myself as an online coach. I had relationships with people on that list. So when I offered it, I think I took on 6 clients from the first email, and then I managed to push 4 over the line before I went traveling. And I set it at my hourly rate, which was £55. So I went traveling to Australia with less than 3,000 followers, but I was making nearly £600 a week. And it was only down to the relationships I had with people through email marketing. Are you familiar with Paul Moore?
Yeah, he's great stuff.
So I was in his MMIC because my business wasn't really going anywhere, and I was so skeptical of building a list. So if there's any fitness professionals listening to this, I bet you think, who the hell is going to buy from an email? Emails are boring. You know, all these kind of laws that just aren't true. You can send more than one email a day. You can't send too many. They can only be too boring. People do like being sold to. You know, at the moment, I've got 50,000 people that get my emails every single day. And, you know, only a very small percentage of those are actually doing business with me, because people like, as long as you're not too boring, it's fine. But the best bit of advice would be to have an email marketing list, because not only is it a great means of communicating with people, we're in a world where people are completely distracted. Social media, they're being shouted at, influencer, advert, you know, people look at Instagram when they're having coffee with a friend. If you're going to try, you know, anything else, Instagram TV is still a very distracted world. When someone reads their emails, they pay it their full attention. It's almost a backdoor into the mind of someone, because someone will be in work mode. Someone will be sat down. They'll be at their desk. They'll be at work. They will be ready to read and absorb whatever you put in front of them. And if email marketing is done right, it is the most powerful tool. And it's one of those things I never really told anyone about. And when I started in Fitness First Sydney in February. I had 4,500 followers. This is last year, so just under a year and a half ago. Diren, who you've probably seen on my socials, he does work with me. We're always kicking about the fucking planet. He never told me, but the day he met me, he signed up to my email list. And within 3 weeks, he actually was the only trainer in there that understood how I had online clients. And my emails can be, you know, I've shared my most embarrassing sex story. I've talked about Tinder dates. I've talked about one night stands gone wrong. But then on the same time, I also will use them as a means. It's almost therapy for me. You know, some people like to blog. All mine go into marketing emails. And I can't express the power of a good email, or, you know, anything that goes wrong in my life, it will make a fucking good email. You know, I miss a flight, a bird shits on me, I get food poisoning, I nearly shit myself doing a front squat. It makes a good marketing email, you know? The only thing worse than shitting yourself doing a front squat is not joining my academy, you know? So that's literally the angles I go with all the time. Pregnancy scares, whatever the fuck it is. And I think that, you know, PTs, again, fitness professionals, not only do they have a pretty poor self-worth to their skills as being a PT or, you know, a trainer, but people need to understand, if you really want to influence lives, you're not a PT, you're an influencer. It just so happens that that's your job. You're on the floor in the gym or online in the capacity of providing programs, but really you need to change someone's relationship with food. You need to do so much. You're not really just a PT. You've got to become a videographer. You've got to become a social media manager. You've got to become, you've actually got to become a writer or like almost a journalist in some sense, because you are going to have to use words that sell and inspire people to join your program. Because if you truly believe in your skill, you will quite happily become a social media marketer, quite happily become a videographer. In some cases, I have to become an actor just so I can get people over the line to do business with me, because I'm confident enough that if they do, I can leave them in a better place than they came. So a lot of people go, oh, well, I'm not good at writing emails. You don't have to be. You just have to be willing to do it. And a lot of what I've said to people before is I see social media as being like a fight. You have to throw punches. And if you don't throw punches, how the fuck are you going to win a fight? It doesn't matter if you're not that good at punching. You sitting there keeping your hands by your side, you're 100% not going to win. And I can't express enough that I've thrown so many dodgy punches that have hit. I do a video that I think, oh, I'll be lucky to get a couple hundred likes on it. Bang, 23,000 likes, 1,000 shares. And I'm sat back. I never thought that that would happen, but you kind of never know. So the email list is a big one. And you don't have to be great at it. You just have to do it. Anyone that watches UFC, sometimes someone throws a dodgy hook, doesn't expect it to hit, hits the right place, game over. You know, it is, and there's so many kind of parallels that people can draw between the two. And that's a really long-winded answer. But yeah, write some fucking emails.
That's an incredible answer, James. I'm going to be applying that. I'm actually going to sign up to your email list straight after to get some ideas and tips.
Don't put the pressure on.
Yeah, it's just a great idea. And so well articulated wording-wise on why people will benefit. I'm curious, you obviously had a light switch moment from last year where you decided, right, I'm just going to start throwing out punches even if they don't land. Was there a moment where you went, you know what, fuck it, I don't care anymore, and you just started putting out the content you wanted? Or were you doing that continuously and then it just started to pick up steam? How did that look?
March 13th, 2017. I know the day because I nearly cried in public. So I'd always put out content. The reason I started doing videos was so that with a client on the gym floor, I shit you not, I would sometimes say, stay here. I'd go run off. I'd get a whiteboard from reception and I would whiteboard them some concepts to get them to understand it. And then suddenly they had a light bulb moment. There's only so much you can do with your hands. And then I was like, right, okay, I'm going to put a video on Facebook. We're talking hundreds of followers here. And I say to my clients, hey, there's a video I put up last night, go onto it. And then there'd be a bit of traction coming from out there and start writing articles. And the best thing about articles was I'll host them on WordPress, could regurgitate them, whatever. It was only when I went traveling to Australia end of 2016 that I started doing more videos. And the reason I did videos and like live videos was because, one, my MacBook, I had a 2011 MacBook. It was too slow to fucking edit anything. I had no means of actually creating content. I just had an iPhone and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do more videos. And then I started to understand that Facebook was becoming a bit of a video platform. But again, at this point, maybe 4,000 followers. But when I went to Sydney, I fucking hated the environment that I went into. I went into an Australian gym, Fitness First, 32 personal trainers, full of insecure Australians. And I mentioned on another podcast the other week that I fucked up. I thought it'd be a good idea to make some videos and tag them in the gym I was going into, thinking that when I'd go on the gym floor that people would go, oh, I've seen that guy's videos, you know, have that kind of familiarity. What it actually did was got 32 personal trainers talking about me, talking shit about me, so that my first day at work, I had three people talk to me, 32 PTs. And I could feel this cold shoulder. No one would fucking talk to me. I'd go out my ways to introduce myself to people. And it was as if I'd shake their hand. Hi, mate. Nice to meet you. I'm James, the new PT. They're like, you all right? And that'd be it. And then I spoke about this. It's very hard to build a business unless you've got the right energy. And I'm sure you appreciate being in the gym. Sometimes you're just fucking flat. You go into the staff room, chatting to other trainers, chatting to people in reception, having a bit of banter. You build up your energy, go out, you prospect again. I was in a position in Sydney where in my first month, I didn't have any clients. I had pressure on me to build a business. I was walking out onto a gym floor where, shit you not, on my first day, a PT threatened to fight me for talking to his clients. It was my first day. How I was supposed to understand whether or not it was his client or not, I'm not quite sure. And then I had a staff room full of people that didn't like me. So I had nowhere to go. I was in the city on my own. My two mates had 9 to 5 in marketing. So, you know, I had no one to flipping talk to. I was hating life. And when I was hating life, it didn't make me a very attractive prospect to do business with. So I had a pretty good business in the UK. Suddenly I'm on the other side of the world. I'm skint. I had to take a loan off my fucking dad in February last year to buy a sofa, out of all things. Not even a fucking holiday or anything like that, to buy a sofa. And March 13th, I remember I sat in Sydney CBD, I was in Australia Square. My two housemates were like, oh, how's work going? They weren't seeing me because I was leaving the house at 5 a.m. and come back at 7 p.m. And I was like, it's fucking shit, boys. And I was worried that I was going to have to move home with my mum and dad. And I remember sitting there and just being like, I'm fucked. I'm paying £250 a week. I'm tied into this contract for a fucking year. I've got no clients. And I'm in a gym environment that I fucking hate. And I walked back and I saw a stationery shop. I bought a static stick whiteboard, 3 markers and a tripod. And I went home and the first year, taking myself from 4,000 to 200,000 followers on Facebook, I did with the same tripod that's in front of me right now, a whiteboard, 3 markers, and I put it on a ping pong table in my front room in Sydney. And it was more out of desperation than anything else. Like, I'm not afraid to say that. I had to go home after a full day in the gym and I had to put out content that was going to go viral or I was facing moving back in my mum and dad in Bracknell in the UK. And there's Tim Ferriss talks about a gun to the head mentality where you do things a lot different if there's a gun to your head, and I completely agree with it. And I felt like that was kind of my gun. And you couldn't sense the desperation, but I knew it was there because I was working myself incredibly hard, pushing socials live at 5 a.m. to get a UK time or whatever I had to do. And that was the turning point. And as soon as I felt that momentum, the amount of effort I was putting in was starting to affect my bank balance, I was hooked. And in analogies as well from rugby, I don't know if you've read Legacy about the All Blacks.
No, I haven't.
It's fucking good. It's like lessons in life you can learn from rugby. And one of it is go for a gap. And when a gap appears, you have to run at it. You have to run at it hard because if you don't, it will close. And if you let it close too much, you end up on your ass. There's a lot of other different ways. And I kind of saw my gap and I went for it. And I was relentless. And everything started to build from there. So I was actually cornered into going to online. I didn't want to be online. I love spending time with people. I love being on the gym floor. My goal was to be like you, well-paid hourly PT. You know, go into the gym, spend 6 hours with each person paying you 100 euros each, go home, get on with life, chill on the sofa, get into a Netflix series. But it was very much my hand was forced to do this. I spent 8 months of that contract paying £250 a week and not even going into the gym unless I wanted to do a bit of filming. But yeah, so that was the turning point, March 13th. I cried in public in Sydney CBD.
Jesus, just shows, like, anyone that's listening that's in that similar position, either, again, I love how you do anything is how you do everything. So this may not be a fitness business for you listening, but pushing through and that gun to the head mentality, I love that from Tim Ferriss, that when life's got you up against a wall, you just fucking keep pushing back and you have no choice. Like when you're on the fucking ground, there's literally no way to go but up, and you just keep fucking pushing through and you push through and you push through and eventually you'll see a gap and you go through it. I fucking love that, James. Like, it's such a... I think so many people will relate, because we all get to that point in, you know, a romantic relationship, which I'm sure we'll get onto. I want to hear one of those fucking Tinder stories. And, you know, or business where, shit, money's just going out, it's going out, and you're not making it. Or fitness where you're dieting, you're training, you're not getting the results. Something will... If you keep pushing it the right way, a gap will open and then you go through it. I love that advice. I have to ask, because I'm fucking dying to subscribe to your email list now. Tell me, what have you a story that's one of your favorites? A pregnancy scare, a Tinder date, a night out? Have you a story that's a particular favorite that you're like, or one that people gave you a lot of direct feedback or messages on going, Jesus Christ, I can't believe that happened?
My favorite one, thinking back of it, was called The James Smith Guide to Life, and it was 50 bullet points. And each one, I remember the first ones, shave a minute off everything you microwave, you reduce the chances of burning your mouth, you know. Number two, don't fuck your clients. Then it'd be like, number three, like, ask someone if there's a vegan, if there's any issues with it. And I just did this long list, and I put in there about 6 times, don't fuck your clients. One in particular was when I was PTing, and this girl came in for a consult, and I was thinking, oh, she's all right, she is. And at the end of the consult, she came in with a friend. I added her number and I already had it saved in my phone. And I had her name in a club that was nearby. I was like, have we met before? She was like, yeah, I think we met on a night out. I was like, oh, all right, yeah, fair enough. And anyway, we got chatting away and, you know, chatting to each other, whatever. And I went to the cricket one day in London and got absolutely hammered. I was texting her, which I shouldn't have been because I've been PTing her for about 8 weeks or whatever, twice a week. And long short of the story, she came round and I went to the gym the next day. And I said to one of the other personal trainers, like, you know, there's like six of us in the gym. And I was like, I don't know why I said it. I was like, oh, I hooked up with that girl the other night. He goes, this one. I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, that's funny. I go, why'd you say that? He goes, nothing. And then about 2 days later, he goes, so hold on, this one here. And we went on her Facebook. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's dating one of the PTs here. I was like, shut up. How long for? He was like, a good few months. I was like, oh my God. Hopefully no one will find out. Then they went Facebook official like 4 days after she came around my house. And the whole gym knew, apart from this personal trainer. And it was probably one of the most awkward environments. Nothing on Sydney, but it was just awkward and it was shit. And it was something that made going to work just a fucking nightmare. So now I banter people all the time being like, don't fuck your clients. And you know what? Today I've had three people, girls on Instagram go, James, I'm not joining your academy because of your rules. I was like, whoa, whoa.
I love it. I just, oh, fucking hell, that's an awkward moment. Cause we've all been in that environment where, you know, things that the main person who's been, it's been done to, doesn't, and you're like, oh fuck. And then when it's you that's done something like that, you're just like, oh shit, fucking hell. what a girl to go Facebook official with.
Oh, and I'll tell you one thing as well, ladies, gentlemen, if you ever want anything to go viral around an environment, finish your sentence with, please don't tell anyone.
There's life advice. That is the best piece of life advice you will ever get, ever.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I love it.
Yo, podcast listeners, just taking a quick 30-second break from today's interview to bring a quick message from our sponsor, Clean Cut Meals. Clean Cut Meals offer a professional meal prep service and have various plans to suit your specific goals. They also change up their menus every week so that you never get bored and can help you stay on track long term. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know I'm a big fan of using nutritional strategies that fit into your lifestyle and schedule that includes food that you enjoy and that are in alignment with your specific goals. So if you're short on time or you're just looking to get the time back from shopping, cooking, preparing, and cleaning up after meals, then go check the guys out. Clean Cut Meals helped me with my nutritional needs in the lead up to running 250 kilometers through the Sahara Desert in April, and they'll be supporting me in my next challenge coming early next year. A little bit more on that at the very end of today's podcast episode. To get 20% off first-time orders, go to cleancutmeals.ie and enter the podcast code BKF. Now, back to this week's episode.
James, I want to move on to a couple of rapid fire things, but when I say rapid fire, you can jump back and forth, whether you want to go quick on them, whether you want to expand on them, totally up to you. I normally have a set format, but because of your content and the way that I consume it, I've changed up some of these questions. So again, feel free to be like, Brian, fuck off, I'm not answering that one. So you can do that too. So ready for him?
Yeah, let's go.
Blondes or brunettes?
Oh, the thing is, one I'd marry, one I'd sleep with. I'm going to marry a brunette, but I like sleeping with blondes.
Nice. Tits or ass?
Ass.
Irish girls or English girls?
Oh, Irish girls. Potatoes.
I saw that in your story when you came to Belfast. I was like, that's the most offensive thing ever. Not at all. It's the least offensive thing on your page.
True.
If I gave you £10 million right now, would you go keto for the rest of your life?
Fuck yeah, I would love to go keto. People don't understand this. Burgers, bacon, cheese. No one said you have to be hypercaloric. You can be hypercaloric. I'd take that £10 million and I would just be living off burgers with cheese and steak. You know, oh, James, you've got to limit your carb intake. Oh, no vegetables for me. It would be perfect. I'd love to go keto.
Have you tried it?
No. I've never gone actually measuring the macros. I've gone into ketosis, but only through like extreme carb cycling and things like that. I've never, through a diet plan, I've gone into that state of low carb, where I'm producing ketones, but I've never just gone, bang, I'm going into ketosis for the rest of my life. I've never done that approach.
Yeah, it's a bit of a misconception, I think, in the fitness industry as well, because a lot of people have that, they think low carb and keto are the same thing. But obviously, if you have an excess of protein, it's going to be significantly harder to get your body to switch from glucose to ketones.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for me, people go, you need to become fat adapted. But carbohydrates, not so much even from a performance or, you know, from a cognitive standpoint, from my relationships to food, I enjoy eating carbs. And people are like, but hold on, James. I'm like, no. Keep your studies, keep whatever you've got or whatever you've got under. I like eating carbs. So if you're going to come at me and tell me to go keto, you're telling me to take away something from my life I enjoy. It's like being told never to masturbate, you know? Hold on a second. Not a fair deal. Not interested. You know what I mean?
100%. Like, it's funny because scientific studies, and this is where I have a little bit of a pet peeve, because definitely, yes, stay up with the science and things that are evidence-backed, always better than anecdotal, because anecdotal can't be backed by anything. My sister works in Northumbria University. She's a lecturer in Northumbria University in Newcastle. And when I had my book come out last year, Fitness Mindset, it did amazing. But I remember I had certain things in there, like your body's conversion of alcohol. And I remember sending it to her. And I was like, Karen, are these studies the most up-to-date? And she goes, look, you can get a study to support fucking anything these days. She goes, there'll be ones that have way more evidence-backed. But if you really need to, there are studies that's going to support anything. So she goes, just stick to the things that are the most up-to-date, but realize that it may change. And I think that's a great piece of advice as well when you're a study whore, where you're like, no, the study says this. It's like, well, yeah, the fucking study could change. We once thought the fucking world was flat. So it's one of those things that's worth staying on top of as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think that people need to find a middle ground where they're evidence-based, but, you know, so it's a bit like, for instance, sweeteners. Just because there is not a huge deal of evidence bar detrimental effects on gut microbiome. Just because there isn't, you know, sweeteners haven't been prevalent in our diets for long enough, really, for us to make substantial claims. So we kind of have to, you know, this is the evidence, but we also have to have the understanding that we may not fully understand things to a full extent. Because, like you say, the study whores or, the PubMed wankers, they're going to be like, no, this is all the papers that are out now. Unless you have anything else to bring to the table, I'm right and you're wrong. and I know what you mean. It's about kind of finding that balance. But yeah, I completely agree. Have we kind of we've still got the fast fire round questions as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking keto.
It started. And I wouldn't mind. I've done, and I've spoken on my on the podcast about keto, and I've done it, and it's. When you get into ketosis, and I'm sure you can attest to this when you did it, like, you feel amazing. Like, for when I switched into ketosis and I was doing it, I started doing a lot more endurance events. I just came back from Marathon de Sable, 250 kilometers through the Sahara. And when you're in ketosis, you feel so much better for, say, endurance sports. But where my pet peeve comes in, people are like, well, I'm doing keto for fat loss. I'm like, that is not the easiest way to lose fat. Like, get into a deficit with normal foods. Don't put your life on fucking hold to get into keto just to lose body fat, because it's not going to be the easiest way. You may lose body fat, you know, and you probably will. Like, if you're eating a lot of refined sugars and you switch to a keto style diet, you probably will, depending on your starting point. But yeah, it's funny. I love your content on it. But again, context is key. Like, if you're an endurance runner, a marathon runner, and you've dedicated your life to just eating fats and you don't care about going for drinks at the weekend or your cheat meals, etc., that could knock you out of ketosis, then by all means, try it. But it may not be the most sustainable thing long term, just for some fat loss.
Exactly. And like you say, if you were going to run 250 kilometers in the Sahara, I think it's fair to say that a few elements of your life probably went on their head. So therefore, the ketogenic diet would just add to it. Whereas with other people that want to conventionally just lose fat, you know, if you've got a corporate or someone in the city or someone, even a housewife, whatever, you want to, as far as sustainability, want to turn as little and few things on their head as possible. And because of that, I will never be an advocate. But yeah, I don't know how you got into that event. This is why we have the same values, but we are different people.
Yeah. I don't recommend it.
Didn't people die doing that?
Yeah, they did, but not on my one. But yeah, they do. I got into it. I fucking hate running, James. Like that's like I ran my first 2K in August to prepare for it, and nearly got sick. And like not dissimilar to yourself. Like I'm a pretty big guy. I'm short. I'm like 5'8", about 85 kilos. I was a competitive bodybuilder. Played GA all my life, you know, not dissimilar to a rugby build, so not built to fucking run. But that's kind of why I did it. I was like, do you know what, if I can do this, something that I hate doing so much and hate running, and I can get through it, you know, I know I'm going to be better out the other side. But yeah, I don't recommend it.
Brilliant.
Next one. Who or what irritates the shit out of you? Taking away the keto people and the keto guy.
Manners is one that I can't stand, like holding a door open for someone and them not saying thank you. But one that's more jovial and a bit more funny is that if I sneeze and no one around me says bless you, at school I used to be like, what the fuck, why has no one said bless you? I just fucking sneezed, there's 30 of you in the room, are you so fucking rude? Like social loafing or whatever you want to call it. But now I'm so hot on saying bless you to strangers because I was such a little prick at school. But if I'm surrounded by mates or like even Dylan and I sneeze, I'm like, bro, I just fucking sneezed. Even though he's got headphones in, I'm like, you should have said bless you. But no, the things that peeve me off the most are small things surrounding manners. Or, you know, if any of my friends have asked for something like, oh, I'll have a latte. And I'm like, a latte, please. There you go. You know, so I'm a bit of a manners Nazi.
That's so funny, mate. I've got a 3-year-old girl and I do that with her. So to see you do that with your mates would be so funny.
Okay, next question. Do you have a favorite podcast? So the one that when it pops up on your iTunes or your Spotify or your Stitcher that you're like, fuck yes, another episode. It could be fitness, business, something comedy-wise. Do you have any podcasts like that you listen to?
Do you know what? I love Jumar Iraki, who does Iraki Nutrition. I think he's Norwegian. It's spelled I-R-A-K-I. And I've learned so much from the guests he's had on. And I feel like he's just got really good taste in guests. And, you know, it is a very evidence-based kind of niche circle that he goes after. But I find him, he's a great host, where there's nothing worse than when you're not on a podcast for banter so much, but when you're listening to like a scientific podcast and the presenter is like trying to swing his dick as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love Iraqi Nutrition. This Jumar guy, like he lays under the radar. He's not got a big following, but I really enjoy his podcast because, you know, he's had some people from almost the American coast, like Sohi Lee, Brett Contreras, who have done some great work. Then he's had some of the, you know, like I'm pretty sure he's had Eric Helms. And there are a lot of people in the kind of evidence-based, Mike Israetel, like a lot of people that aren't well-known, Alan Aragon. There's a lot of mentors I have, or I wouldn't call them mentors, I call them influencers, that aren't really well-known to the world. And he seems to kind of put them in front of me and make me aware of them. So that's probably my favorite one at the moment.
Love it.
Do you have a favorite Netflix show, either now or in the past?
Oh, tough one, man. Oh, shit. I really got into Stranger Things. And me and my housemate used to watch it a lot. I like Stranger Things. I love the soundtrack to it, man. What's yours out of interest?
Oh, Narcos. I fucking consumed Narcos for 2 days. The whole thing gone through. I think it's 3 seasons or whatever it was. I couldn't stop watching it.
One thing that I've realized since Narcos was on is now that I watch all my Netflix documentaries with subtitles, even if they're in English.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. I'm like, fucking, I've read this the most I've read in ages. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm becoming like limitless, like reading things. I just look at the screen and I've read it all already. I might regret saying that, but I do like Strange Things. What have I been? There's so many things I get glued to. Did you watch Evil Genius recently?
No, it's on my added to wish list, though. It's on my wish list of things. Recommended?
It gets a bit slow towards the end, but it's like Making a Murderer-esque, but it's fucked. And I won't give it away because you see it in the first bit, but it's about a bank robbery where a guy gets an explosive padlock to his neck. Jeez. And comes out of the bank. And he's like, he's a pizza delivery guy. And it's something from a movie. And then you got to snap out and go, actually, hold on, this actually happened. But that's a sick one to get into that.
Fuck, okay, that's on my list for the weekend. Love it. Is there anyone on the planet you would give your right arm to hook up with?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Two, I'm going to give you. One, Katie Crew. She's Canadian. She's like a kind of insta-famous chick. She's like 750,000 followers with an E on the end of Crew. She's just hot. She's like, she's strong. She does lifts. Her videos are cool. She's like got funny stories that a cat comes in. Her, but she's in first place probably with Hattie Boydell. Do you know her?
No.
She's a Australian kind of model, like fitness model. And fuck, this woman is strong, man. Have you got your phone or your computer in front of you?
I don't have my phone.
I'll send you their Instagram links after. But I watch their stuff and I'm just like, poor. I like a strong woman, I'll tell you that. Like, I end up hooking up with quite a few CrossFit chicks in recent years. A lot of dudes aren't really into that. But you know what, mate? I don't mind if a girl can outlift me. I'll get on with it.
Yeah, mate, fucking strong is sexy, man. Like, fucking, you get to a certain point in fitness where cardio bunnies are great, and in your hardcore lettuce dieters with fake boobs and fake ass, yeah, you look great. But you're like, I want a girl that can fucking move some weight.
Yeah, that's right.
Love it. One sentence of advice to personal trainers.
Back yourself. Quite simply, there are so many elements to, from prospecting to lead generation to content. People got to fucking back themselves, because like, if you don't, no one else is really going to back you to do it. Your fucking girlfriend, your partner, your parents aren't going to back you enough to do what you need to do. You know, the same way that, you know, you see a hot chick at the bar, you got to back it, or hot bloke, don't get me wrong, don't be a misogynist or anything. You got to fucking go over to that person, tell them you like them, offer to buy them a drink. And if you don't back yourself to do it, again, same as like being in a fight, if you're not going to back yourself to throw punches, trust me, you're not going to win the fucking fight. So, you know, a lot of people are so, the massive fears of rejection, most personal trainers are hugely insecure. Fucking back yourself, everything, like just your career, but everything else.
I love it. Like, one of the things that I do, very similar to the back yourself, is ask yourself, what's the upside, what's the downside, and can I handle the downside? Like, and normally in most cases, particularly like going up to a girl at a bar or going up to the guy at the bar, the upside is you end up hooking up that night, or you meet the fucking future love of your life. The bad side is she throws a drink in your face and tells you to fuck off and you're embarrassed for 10 minutes. Can you handle that? Probably. And it can help. What one sentence advice would you give to a keto diet pusher?
Have a fucking sandwich, mate, and chill out.
Love it.
Do you get Marks and Spencer's in Ireland?
No, but we've got, you know, Tesco, and we've got Dunn's, which is probably the equivalent to Marks and Spencer's.
Go have a sandwich, man. There are all kinds of different sandwiches, and there's nothing better than a sandwich, man. When you're hungry, and you know what, mate? Have a packet of crisps whilst you're there. grab a chocky bar on the way out, and have some yogurt covered fucking raisins or cranberries. Sit down and stop being a fucking nose.
Last one. Any advice you'd offer to your 18-year-old self?
Smoke less weed. When I was like 16 to 18, I was not ambitious. I got kicked out of school when I was 16 with 3 GCSEs. I spent years saying, oh, there's no jobs available, I've got no work. And, you know, at 18 though, I suppose best bit of advice, if I was being serious, would be to make sure that people don't disguise being good at a job for passion. So I find that a lot of people, my friends that are 30, I go, yeah, you're telling me you love your job, but can I ask you whether or not you actually love your job, or that you're disguising being very good at your job for actual passion? Because I never realized how passionate I was for fitness and sport and everything until I was 24 when I became a PT. And yeah, I just wish that someone had come along and gone, James, don't chase the money. Because I did the IT sales, I did the recruitment, and I was never actually happy. And I know that I was so happy because, well, I used to love playing rugby when I was younger, because it was the only part of the week I fucking enjoyed, you know? Yeah. When you actually get into a job or a profession that you're passionate about, irrespective of pay grade, you don't even look forward to weekends because every day is a fucking weekend, you know? So yeah, that would probably be it. Make sure you don't disguise being good at something for passion.
I love it. It's like the philosophy of getting good at the wrong thing is an absolute waste of time. It's probably the biggest waste of time because you fucking hate what you do.
Yeah, exactly that.
James, this has been absolutely awesome. Tell people more about where's the best place to find out more information about you and a little bit about the James Smith Academy, because I know you do a trial for people coming on. Tell them a little bit about that.
I'm on socials as James Smith PT. Absolutely fucked when it came to having a name. I was like, Mum, Dad, you have one job and you call me James Smith. They had no idea the fucking handles that I'd be trying to use for social media. Granted, it didn't exist at the time. But pretty much I run an academy for general populations, people probably in their first 1 to 4 years of lifting. And I've just simplified all the processes of online PT and put it in one place. And we have a 5-day free trial at jamessmithacademy.com. And that's, some people will like my style, some people won't. Some people like the platform, some people won't. And really for me, it's affordable as well. I was charging £260 a month for online PT. This is £20. And we say to people, join for 3 months, you get coaching, programs, content, whatever. And the best thing is that, again, for fitness professionals, I went into business with an IT guy, so we both own the business. So it gives us the flexibility that if someone goes, we want a button here, we want you to build this, we want you to do that, it's an evolving platform. If I look back at what we launched, I cringe. I think to myself, oh my God, I can't believe we charge money for that. But yeah, so and the idea is that we're just trying to educate people, because my social media does quite a good job and people go, oh, I've learned so much from your page. And I go, well, imagine if you joined my fucking academy, you'd be 20 quid worse off, and I put all the videos in order, refilm them to be more educative. And I don't, you know, they're not built for engagement, because you almost have to shave a bit off your message for social media, because engagement's the only way you're going to find other people. So all the videos that are on there are completely different. But, you know, if your mum or your sister, for personal trainers listening, I know how hard it is to train family members. I'll do it for you. Send them over.
Love it. That's absolutely awesome.
Cheers, man.
If you're in that demographic or you need to send personal trainers, and there's a load of you listening, again, you're never going to be a prophet in your own land. You're not going to help your parents or brother or sister. They're just not going to listen. So fucking send them to James. I love it. James, I will link everything in the show notes. For everybody listening, if you head over to briankeenfitness.com, I'll link James Smith Academy up there. I'll link his social media profiles and everything to do with him. 100% recommend go follow him on all the social medias if you're not. And if you're in that demographic and think you'll benefit from his academy, 100% go join. It's free to sign up for the first 5 days. You've nothing to lose. James, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And if you know you have any people come back from this wanting to talk again, I'll be happy to come on again.
Love it. Absolutely amazing. James, thanks again. Thank you for listening. We are out.
Quick message before you head off. Just letting you know, my best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is now available on Audible and all major audiobook apps. If you're like me and love listening to books while you travel or work out, be sure to go to audible.co.uk or audible.com to check out the audio version of The Fitness Mindset. You can listen to a 3-minute sample on there, or you can download the full book. Also, last thing before you leave, if you try Clean Cut Meals, the sponsors of today's episode, be sure to enter the code BKF at the checkout to get your 20% off your first order. Clean Cut Meals are doing all my food for my next adventure challenge coming early next year. I'll be announcing more about that during next month's podcast, and I'm just waiting actually on medical clearance. Ugh, yikes. So stay tuned for that, and remember, code BKF at the checkout for 20% off your first order. Catch you all next week.